Okay, we want to look at grace, God's great grace. Grace, I know I've given you this definition a lot of times, but grace is when God looks at you as though you already are what you eventually will be, and he treats you that way. Okay? So God sees you already complete, perfect, and he begins treating you that way from the very first day you're born again. Okay? It is not a graded thing. The better you get, you know, it's just he sees your potential.
The and day you're born again.
The day
not
you're
the
born
day again. You are born, but the day you are born again.
The day you're born again. And he sees that. He knows and he knows his plans for you in Jeremiah. He said, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. Now, I think last week we were talking about, or maybe the week before, about the unfolding. And Psalm said, David said, before I was even formed in the womb, you saw my unformed substance. It was it folded up. And then the unfolding of. Well, God sees this full unfolding, but it doesn't all happen the first day you're born again. But you have that potential. So that's how God treats you. He treats you every bit as good as if you were Jesus himself. Okay? When he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He treats you exactly the same way, only it has to be by grace or his favor. And the neat thing is, in Christ, of course you taught school and you probably had favorite students, but they also considered you their favorite teacher. And then in the family, a lot of times there's, your dad's favorite or your mom's favorite. The beautiful thing is in the kingdom, you're all God's favorite. You're his favorite. And there are millions of favorites. And so that's what grace does. Grace just looks at you, and God's saying, you're my favorite. And I have all of these resources. So what grace does, grace brings down to you all the resources of heaven. Everything that is in heaven, and it all comes through Jesus Christ. This grace is here because of Jesus. We're favored because we're in Christ, who is God's favorite. And so there's tremendous resources in heaven. And he's bringing all that down to us through Jesus. Okay? So grace is the releasing of all God's rich resources to help you become all he intended for you to be and to equip you to do all he has called you to do. Our part is to believe and trust in him. But we'll see as we go down through here that it's faith in Christ that releases the grace to come. It's not just automatic grace. But as we place our faith in Jesus, even 1% faith in Jesus brings everything God has. So there's 99% added.
I hate to be a stickler here, but you know what? Just being a man, I am in charge of everything, it seems like. And I try to give it to God, but how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I don't know.
You start out by moment by moment. In other words, you can't give it all. But when something comes up, The way I do it is I like to think of adding Jesus to the equation. Okay? There's a problem. And Jesus said, there's enough problems for every day. Okay? So, if there's going to be a problem, I know I can't handle it. And I know He can. And so, what I do is I add Jesus to the equation. I bring the grace of God, which brings all the resources of God, or all the favor of God, into that situation. And it doesn't matter if you're digging ditches for your neighbor, if you're in ministry, or if you're a carpenter, if you're a plumber, a mechanic. It doesn't matter what you are or what you're doing. If you'll just bring Jesus into the equation and wait upon the Lord, as we were talking about last week, give Jesus time to work, and all of a sudden, you know, and for me, I'm just shocked. You know, He does it.
Okay, give an illustration on how you bring Jesus, if you've got a problem, and you bring Jesus into the equation. Give us an illustration.
Okay, one day I was putting up a lamp like this, and it had a lot of bolts coming down this way,
mm-hmm.
and holes, but the holes wouldn't match the bolts. And I'm pretty good at that kind of thing. I know I can do it. I couldn't do it. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. So finally, I just got down off the ladder, and I said, Jesus, I can't do it. Would you help me put that up there? Crawl back up the ladder, and I slipped that thing, and it just went straight on. Started putting the nuts on there, and it was all done. And then I think, why didn't I do that earlier?
I do it when I am at my most stressed, because I think I can handle everything and do everything. Me or Don, one, can do it. And when I am at my most stressed because things weren't going the way I planned, then I back off and say, okay, if you really want this to happen, you're going to make things happen for me. If you don't, I get the message, I shouldn't be doing that anyway. And that's hard for me because I'm a control freak.
But I understand.
It's when I'm at my most stressed that I finally say, okay, back up. Just.
I've been there with plumbing, and that'll just drive me nuts.
Right.
And I just back off and say, oh, God, okay, God, you got to take care of this. And just take a breather, and I'll step back and start doing it. And I get through, and I don't have one leak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. It just, it's done.
Well,
grace.
You made the statement that you're the man and you have the responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a man, but I've always had the responsibility. My ex-husband would be sitting watching football, and I'd be up on the roof, roofing, you know. I was raised with guys. So, you know, we understand the having the responsibility.
Mm-hmm. So we need to bring, well, in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. So it's mainly just acknowledging Him or mentioning Jesus, bringing Jesus into the situation. I was reading of a man who had a tremendous healing ministry. And normally, it was just a matter of praying, laying hands on people, and they would be healed. And yet, in this one case, absolutely nothing worked. And so he finally just said, okay, everybody, back off, shut up, and let's all just start to say Jesus. And so they all just, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all of a sudden, the guy began to quiver, and boom, and he was healed. Totally done. bring Jesus in. Jesus is the power of God. He's the Word of God. He is the faith.
That makes sense.
See? And so we just involve Him. I think I shared with you the time that I was driving back from my meeting in Marshall. I was on I-70 on the freeway, and I'd passed up the snow plow. That was kind of a stupid thing to do. I should have just stayed behind it, but I was kind of in a hurry to get home. So I headed on down. Well, it started down a hill, and my car started going. And next thing I know, I'm going backward, and it's going off into the ditch. And so once I get the thing landed down in the ditch, there's this Oldsmobile Tornado coming over, and they wiggle just a little bit, come right on down and stop. And there was a black couple, and they said, you know, can we help you? And I said, well, I can't get this thing out of here, so if you could give me a ride to Kansas City. And they said, sure, we'll take you home. So we were riding, and so I talked to the wife, and I said, I noticed your car started to wiggle, and then it quit. I said, what happened? And she said, oh, I just started saying, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And she said, it just straightened right out. I said, I'm the minister. Why don't I think of things like that? You know. But she drew on the grace of God. See, Jesus told Paul, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So it's our willingness. If we want the grace of God, we have to acknowledge our weakness. As long as you think you're it, you won't get the grace of God. But when you say, I need you because I can't do it, even when we've tried, you know, and most of us, you know, do our best, and then when we realize we can't, but how much better would it be if we called on Him early, you know, before we even started? Okay? Grace gives free access to all God has provided for us. So everything that's in Jesus is ours. I shared with you a few weeks back, the Lord had given me this little section to put in there, in the place of grace, rich resources. Okay, and so I did a few of the verses there for you, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace, that is the rich resources of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. So this is abundant life Jesus is talking about. The thief, Satan, has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Or the Amplified Bible says, in abundance to the full till it overflows. And like I mentioned last week, that there's millionaires who would give all of their millions for what you and I have. And we've received it by grace. Not because we deserve it, not because we kept a law or the laws, but because God initiated it. Okay? Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which is His rich resources, which He has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace, that is the rich resources of our Lord, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Exceedingly abundant. That just simply means way, way more than what we need. That is way more than we deserve. I shared, and I think I put it in one of my newsletters too, but grace is what you get. Mercy is what you don't get. And we all deserve to die because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the blood of Jesus, he's taken that away. Okay, but grace then is what you get. You get the life of Jesus. You get abundant life. You get peace and joy, love, and all the other resources, which we'll be looking at in a few moments. But to each one of us, grace that is rich resources was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now that's real interesting when you look at it in the original language, in the Greek, because the gift here is the person. See? So it's not like giving a gift, it's giving yourself. See? So it's Christ giving himself to his body. We're the body of Christ. And so we have this grace that is given to us, which is actually the person of Jesus Christ and all he is, and all that the Father has given to him. So there again, it all comes down through Jesus. Okay, grace has a larger perspective than we do. So I mentioned that it's when God looks at you as though you already are what you eventually will be, and he treats you that way.
God, not Jesus.
Both.
Okay.
Both. But see, where we get messed up is that when we look at ourselves, we either look at ourselves with pride or we think we're no good. Which are both wrong. See? And then, of course, we get a lot of help, too, because people tell us what they think of us. You know? And so what people think about us and what we think about us blurs the image. So we have to go back to the Word of God to understand how God looks at us. Because he looks at us totally different than we look at ourselves, totally different than the way people look at us. See? He sees us as perfect while he's perfecting us. He sees us as holy as he sanctifies us. See? So he sees us then as a finished product, and he sees us through the promise. We've talked a lot about the promise. The promise, singular, is, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I will dwell among you, I'll walk among you, and be your God. And you'll be my people. That's the promise. So God is looking at you and saying, you're mine. And I love you. I think you're wonderful. I think you're beautiful. I think you're precious. You're my favorite. You're my favorite. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Can you imagine such a thing? God rejoicing over us with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. Wow. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that your life causes God to start singing?
No. What exactly do you mean he will quiet you with his love?
Yeah. It's all the perplexities of life. Can just
you
throw
mean, like,
you
make you more peaceful,
right?
Okay.
Well, it's this calming.
Yeah, it's like somebody's hugging you.
Yeah,
like calming you down. It's
yeah,
like somebody is hugging you.
I was talking with.
Sorry.
I was talking with Dean Donan, talking to him about you know, being down in Honduras. I think this was like a couple of trips back, and I said, well, you know, because they're always talking about what all they get done, and I said, now Dean, I want to know, what is your experience with God when you're there? Tell me about that. And he said, well, when I was at my tiredest and when I felt like I couldn't go on, he said, all of a sudden, God came and just put his arms around me and hugged me. And all of a sudden, he said, I was totally revived. I think that pretty well describes it.
Okay, good.
Just hugging us, holding us, that comfort, that security, you know. Everything's okay. Long as God's loving me, everything else is okay.
It's like when you're crying or you're upset and you put your head on your husband's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that, yeah. Psalm 1.
He doesn't do that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Psalm 149:4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Did you ever think of him looking at you like that?
No.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Wow. Takes pleasure in you. He's delighted in you. See, a lot of times we look at ourselves about and think about how far we have to go. You know, and he's excited about the journey. He's not worried about how far we have to go. He's excited about just spending that time with us. He's excited about the process. And I was talking with a guy here a while back, and he was talking about miracles and healings. And a lot of times I get challenged on that. Well, if you can pray for the sick and heal them, why don't you just go into the hospitals? And it's kind of it's supposed to be a, you know, poo-pooing the whole thing of divine healing. And but then I ask him the same question. If God saves, then why don't you save everyone on your block? The same God that saves is the same God that heals. The same God that heals is the same one that saves. Then why isn't everyone on your block born again? Now, let's turn it correctly, okay? How does God look at it? If one person is born again, that's more than this whole world deserves. And so God's excited. It says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. He's thrilled if he can just heal one person out of 300 million in America. See? Yeah. Oh my, I didn't get them all. No, he's thrilled about, okay, now let's bring it down to your life. God begins this work of grace. He's not finished with you yet. But he's thrilled with the progress. He's not upset because you haven't made enough progress. He's thrilled with the progress you've made. God looks at things really different. That's just, I really cut this down right before I came over because I have a whole teaching just on that one part. Maybe we should do that sometime.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't have to back up to the throne. You don't have to crawl on your hands and knees. Just run into the throne room and say, "Hi, Daddy.
I'm home.
I'm home.
What's for supper?
What's for supper? How's your day been?" Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because he looks at us. See? He not, oh no, not him again, not her again, you know. That's not the way he looks at us. Yes, yes, come on in. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So when things, you know, of course I'm needy all the time. I try to become needier than I am, because I like God's intervention. I don't wait for something to get really bad before I say, Lord, I need your help. Just everything I'm involved in, I call on you. See, and that way, when really bad things come up, I'm already used to calling on him. And Father, we have another problem here. There's another need, and you just have that same. He's just holding you in his arms, loving you, saying, "I'll take care of it." 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, a manifold on a car, of course, is taking the exhaust from many sources, four on each side or whatever, and putting it into a tailpipe. The manifold grace of God is coming down through Jesus Christ, but going out through many people. And so there are many gifts and many ways that God is ministering not only to us, but through us to others.
That's like an intake manifold.
Yeah, like an intake manifold. So that we can all be different in our gifting and still complement each other, help one another, be a blessing to one another. The gifts of the Spirit, the Scripture talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, the Greek word for grace is charis, and the Greek word for gifts, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, is charismata.
Charismata.
So it is the grace of God given to you to give out to others. So if I'm praying for someone, let's say I'm praying for someone that is sick, then it's not me, it's the grace of God coming down through me, goes out, touches them, and they're healed. I'm as shocked as anyone when it happens. You know, I never get used to it. You'd think after a while, you'd think, there's another one. You know, but you never do. I'm just totally surprised that it happens. But it's what God gives us to be a blessing. I'm talking with people, and they ask me a question. I don't have the slightest clue what the answer is. And the next thing I know, I'm telling them all about it and giving them wisdom and knowledge and understanding concerning the subject, and I have no idea what I'm talking about. So the grace of God, if we only knew the grace of God, we could actually rest. And we could actually enjoy being a Christian. Fact is, we could be happy Christians. People get so bent out of shape trying to be Christians that they don't enjoy being a Christian. People try so hard to have faith that they just wear themselves out when they could actually enjoy living by faith, walking by faith. And by the way, some of the greatest faith teachers are the ones that have the biggest trouble with it because they've concentrated on it. And the thing is, it's so simple. Just place your faith in Jesus. We can all do that. Okay, what I did from this point on down then is to actually, we're talking about these rich resources. I wanted to line up grace and various resources. And like I said, I cut it way down. There's a lot more to it than this, but I cut it way down. Grace and salvation. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It doesn't get simpler than that. You place your faith in Jesus, and grace kicks in, and you are born from above. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. See? Not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Back in the day, see, they tried to be... The Jews tried to keep the law and do everything just exactly right. And then Jesus comes and says, it doesn't have anything to do with that. I'm going to die in your place. And my death will take care of all your sin. And now I'm going to give you eternal life. And all you have to do is believe in me. And I will give you as a gift eternal life. Of course, we know it's even more than that. He'll give us abundant life. Okay? And so it's applied faith that brings forth the grace. It's not just automatic grace. But you apply faith. Remember I taught you on it, about faith. If you apply 1% of faith, Jesus will add the 99%. And you will have 100%. And of course, that's for being born again. But it's also for every day, whatever you need. You just put that 1% of faith in Jesus. Don't place faith in your faith, it won't work. Don't place faith in healing, it won't work. Don't place faith in prosperity, it won't work. But if you place your faith in Jesus, he can heal you, he can prosper you, he can give you abundant life. Okay? Grace and faith. And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Doesn't get simpler than that. In which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory there being the recognizable reality of God. Which, of course, that's simple enough. You apply faith and grace kicks in. Access by faith into this grace. Okay, grace and love, 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, our Lord, was exceedingly abundant. Exceedingly abundant. That's a bunch. Fact is, that's everything of heaven available to you individually. Okay, grace and righteousness. Romans 5:20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Or through, or down through Jesus Christ. So where sin abounds, and of course, we see this so clear when we send people out into real sinful areas to preach the gospel. We try to preach the gospel to good people, and you know, see so little in fruit, so little results. And then we go out among the wicked people where sin is abounding. And because they're willing to receive it, and all of a sudden they're transformed, their lives are transformed, and God's doing all kind of marvelous things, you know, for them. Fact is, you know, most Christians, nice Christians in nice Christian churches, get jealous of the, you know, the things that happen among these sinners, you know. But that's where the grace of God works. And those that minister a lot, for instance, in miracles and healings and things like that, they could come here, you know, and they may not see hardly any results. They go down to Central America, South America, Africa, and just everywhere they go, just miracles, 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 healings, raising the dead. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Grace and truth, and of course I love this, because you know, of course we kind of understand what truth is, you know, telling the truth type of thing. Or, but this is far greater than that, because this truth, the Greek word actually translates for the same translates into reality. So whatever is true is real. Whatever is real is true. We were talking about that with your houses. You know, you buy a house, you know, I remember the one we bought in Huntsville, Alabama. I think we paid $16,000 for it. And it would be probably $250,000 now. So is the house worth more? No. Because what is the real value? The real value is what is the house and the property. Someone could say it's worth $15 million. Or they could say it's worth $40. It doesn't change the real value of the house. It's still the same house and still the same land. And that's the reason why we call it real estate. Okay? Truth estate. Okay? Now, move that into your life. God knows the truth of who you are. And He knows the truth about you. And He loves you. Because He sees you in a whole different way. And so it's what we have to get a hold of is the truth of how God looks at us, not what people are telling us. Okay. And not even what preachers are telling us. You know, a lot of preachers have spent their whole life just telling people what sinners they are. And I hear people walking around, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." You know, that's a ridiculous statement. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I am a new creation in Christ, according to the Word of God. I've been born from above. I have eternal life. I'm on my way to heaven. God sings about me. He thinks I'm beautiful and pleasant. He likes to be around me. I like to be around Him too. But to know the truth is so different than what we've been told. And so we always feel disqualified. Grace qualifies you. As one of the jobs of grace is to qualify the disqualified. 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verses 16 and 17, and of His fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, or down through Jesus Christ. Grace and justification. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification, a big long word. It just simply means that God gives you a new start. No matter how bad you've messed up, at any time you turn to God, God will give you a new start. That's not just when you're born again. That's any time. Okay, grace and ministry. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What a statement. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Christ in you, in Colossians, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of the manifestation of the presence of God. You know, this is the same guy that was out killing Christians and trying his best to destroy the church until God apprehended him on the road to Damascus. If anyone ever experienced grace, it was Paul. That's probably right, the reason why he's the one that writes most about it. Because he was the worst of sinners, he said. And yet God had grace. So by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's not me. It's Christ with me, Christ in me. Okay, grace and provision, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. This is actually talking about money here. are things that we need. Because the whole chapter is about the fact that they had taken up offerings and sent to the people that were suffering from famine the drought that was in Jerusalem and the poverty that was there, and they had given their money away, and Paul writes to them and says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Not only enough for yourself, but plenty to give away to help others. And then, last of all, is grace and peace. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now the promises, plural. See, the promise, I will be your God and you will be my people. Now this is the promises, 400 promises in the scripture of what God is giving to us. And all those promises are ours in Christ Jesus. The scripture says all the promises in God are yea and amen, or they are yes. So, I'm in Jesus, Father, can I have this? Yes. I'm in Jesus, can I have this? Yes. Father, what about this? I'm in Jesus, can I have this? Yes. If it's God's promise, it belongs to you. If you're in Jesus, the answer is yes. 100% of the time. You read all through the Gospels. One after another comes to Jesus. If you will. And He said, I will. I will. I will. Yes. 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 He had plenty. He never ran out. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, that's some of the resources. There are many, many, many more. The fact is, if we covered all the resources, we would be here for like 3 weeks.